They were here long before we came along. The spirits of rivers, trees, rocks, and animals tell them about mysteries only they can reveal. Even the stars speak to them about celestial influences and memories. They have gods, we have God. They have sacrifices, we have the one sacrifice. They have priests, we have the priesthood of Christ. They have altars, candles, incense, water, wine, bread, blood, flesh, and so do we. They have heroes, heroic stories, miracles, sacred texts and places, taboos and totems, moral systems, and so do we. How then do we distinguish between the so-called pagan religions, the Greek and Roman mystery cults, for example, and the way of Christ Jesus? The Greek Orthodox theologian and bishop John Zazoulias puts it best when he writes, quote, "Unlike the pagan religions, which sought salvation and escape from time and history through myths leading to extratemporal experiences, Christian spirituality, under the influence of the scriptural mentality, focuses on history. The church's outlook is not cosmological, but historical." He goes on to note that the Christian's relationship with God does not pass through nature, but through obedience to the will of God, giving Christianity its ethical character, its charge to do the truth. And it is through personal relationships that the human person's union with God is realized. In all the ways that we relate to God, two differences mark us off from the pagans. First, we have a scriptural mentality, and two, a personalist revelation of God. In scripture this morning, we read, "On the mountain of Horeb, an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in fire, flaming out of a bush. God called out to him from the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' He answered, 'Here I am.' And then God reveals himself to Moses as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and charges Moses to go to Pharaoh and to do the truth. 'Lead my people out of Egypt.'" We also read in Scripture this morning, "No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him." Jesus wishes to reveal the Father to us, and we know the Father first and best through the person of his Christ, Jesus, our teacher and Lord. Jesus, as a person like us in all things but sin, shows us, reveals to us, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In his person, human and divine, he reveals. In his sonship, his lordship, in his teaching and preaching, in every word spoken and every deed done, Jesus unveils his Father's face to us. This is not myth, it is history. This is not once upon a time in a land far, far away. God's revelation of himself to us, his creatures, took a time, a place, and a person and spoke to us, "Here I am." And why does any of this matter to us now? Simple. If you will do the truth, you must know the truth. The truth that is love himself is beyond measure, beyond words, beyond image or imagination, beyond space-time, beyond any human art or science to know fully, perfectly. To glimpse God, we must be shown God. And only God can show us God. Jesus shows God the Father, and so we know God as Father, source of our being and author of our freedom. If you will do his truth, you must know his truth. Knowing and doing his truth will not only set you free, but it will make you into a means of freedom for others. What do we call a person who is a means of true freedom for others. We call him, we call her, Christ. In the record of our family's faithful struggle with God, we find human histories of hope, despair, obedience, betrayal, fidelity, sacrifice, greediness, any and everything imaginable. And we find Christ, the ancient promise of God given flesh and blood and given up for us. And why does any of this matter? It matters because it is true. To do the truth, we must know the truth. And God said to Moses, "Here I am. I will be with you always."